From the studios of WNAA-FM-HD, welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WNAA-FM-HD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, and as always, I brought him with me again, y'all.
Wow. Y'all hear that, fellas? She brought me with her.
I mean, well, yeah.
Okay.
Aren't you glad I did?
I'm here. Hey, look, she let me stay in the house every night.
Every single night.
My name is Keith Funderburk. I'm your co-host today with Dr. Nanette Funderburk.
My main man.
Your main man, your husband. Dr. Funderburk, you know, this is a special week for me.
Oh, it is?
Especially for all players, this is always a special week.
Did you say players? You're not a player, sir.
No, you know, players is just a terminology.
Okay, I just had to check.
No, you know, the OG man, you know, that kind of thing. But this week, I want you to call me Brother Cupid.
Brother Cupid, okay, we can call you Brother Cupid.
That's right.
You shooting some arrows out there?
Man, the deal is, Dr. Funderburk, I've been shooting arrows at different people all week.
Why are you shooting arrows at different people?
You know, for them. You know, I want people to be in love with each other.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And so, Dr. Funderburk, what happened? I shot myself a couple of times. And then I was in love with you all over again, Dr. Funderburk.
Oh, yeah,
so,
right.
Man, so,
man. Ba-dum-bum. Well, that was a good save.
That's right. See, I shot myself in the leg. Boom. Mm-hmm. There you go, right there. You know, I can't, you know, and it was, man, it was like, ding. So this week.
So you brought Cupid.
I'm brought Cupid.
You brought Cupid.
You know, because see, what I'm going to also do, I got to do my dance.
What is your dance?
They got a song for me.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
So they
When we danced at our wedding, you had to practice for like a really long time.
Look, everybody's not ready for the real true dance.
You're right. Weren't ready.
That's right. See, you weren't ready. So, but this week, I want you to, this week, Dr. Funderburk.
Yes, we're calling you Brother Cupid.
Brother Cupid, because keep in mind, you know, this is the week of love.
It is the week of love, but we're really not talking about love today, though.
No, we're not talking about love today. We're just really just talking about something that's really interesting, though.
You know what I found out?
What you got?
I did not know this. The second week of January, the second Friday of January, is called Quitter's Day. Did you know that?
Quitter's Day? Uh-huh. I'm going to quit my job or something?
No, you're not quitting your job, sir.
I know. Look here, brothers. Don't quit your job. That will cause you to have some issues at the home front. So, players, make sure you stay on the job.
But no, it's called Quitter's Day because that is the day that they say most people who made New Year's resolutions would have, by that time, have quit trying to go forward with their resolution by the second Friday in January.
Wow. So we couldn't make it 2 weeks.
Most people, that's what some of the research says. And now we're at the beginning of February.
Yep, that's right.
We're at the beginning of February. And so, like I said, I was looking up some of this research here. And I think this research came from, it said Fisher Business College. Mm-hmm. And it said that researchers suggest that only 9% of Americans that make resolutions actually complete them. So, like, at the end of the year, they're still either saying check, done, or still, you know, trying to work towards it. I was like, oh, my gosh, that is a really small number. That's a one-digit number.
Right.
So, of the people, only 9% actually complete their resolution. And then the research goes on to say that 23% of the people quit their resolutions by the end of the first week in January, but 43% have quit by the end of January. So the second Friday in January is called Quitter's Day. I did not know that.
Yeah, you know, but you know, I tell you, and I'll be, of course, I'm going to be your online or your podcast patient. for today. You know, because, you know, it's tough. You know, when I think about, you know, okay, I got two things that I was really trying to do for 2025.
Okay.
Okay. And again,
you're going to be transparent.
I'm going to be transparent. Oh, big word, fellas. Transparent. But, I mean, some of these things, of course, are some of the typical things that we look at. You know, of course, a lot of people want to begin to exercise. Uh-huh. They may want to lose weight. Maybe they want. I even heard that, of course, recently they started something where people abstain from alcohol for the first month of
January. They call it dry January.
Dry January.
I was talking to somebody, and I was talking to two people actually, mm-hmm. and the one person was saying that she was going to have a dry January, and the other person that I was talking to said, "Oh, really? Well, that's nice, but I'm gonna have a wet January."
That is.
I said, "I've never heard that."
See what I'm saying? So she's going to have a wet one.
Yeah, she said she was going to have a wet January, so she was not going to stop her drinking at all.
Man, let's get the party started.
Yeah.
But, you know, but interesting, though, you know, people, we try to do some things. You know, and some of us are very creative when we put together our resolutions or goals.
Vision boards.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen that a lot. Guys don't do a lot of vision boards a lot, but but a vision board. Now, what's a vision board for those who don't know?
Oh, well, it's just it's like, you know, going back to old school tag board type of paper, and you're cutting out pictures and getting the glue and scissors and paste and looking at a picture of the thing that you want to see happen in your world that particular year. You want to start to create some pictures around it, something that you can kind of envision in your mind. That's the goal of a vision board. Because a lot of times what happens with the people who have made a resolution, I would dare to say, I don't have research that supports this. This is my, you know, just my own statement.
Still commentary,
right? But I would dare to say that the people who would create something that they can see on a regular basis, they're probably some of the folks that actually do, you know, get those visions done or get those resolutions completed, or maybe they go for longer in the year and actually work towards those goals, simply because usually when people are doing vision boards, they usually put it up somewhere. Now, there are some folks who do a vision board and it's somewhere in the back of in the closet somewhere. Those folks might be, you know, in the what did we say, on Quitter's Day or something like that. But when you can see it, when you put it up, it's a nice reminder for you to say, hey, okay, that is what I said I'm working towards. So what have I done in that direction?
Wow. So again, so we're talking about Quitter's Day, or just, you know, staying focused and being on target with some of your goals, some of your resolutions. So that's what we're going to be looking at. And again, I told you that I'll be, your case study for today. You know, for me, at the beginning of the year, I wanted to begin to lose weight, and I wanted to really limit the amount of sugar or carbohydrates that I eat.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Funderburg, it's been rough.
Yeah, look, I know it has been rough for you.
The first couple of weeks, I mean, you know, it's been rough. I mean, I don't know if I even made it to that second Friday.
I would agree.
There you go. But, you know, for me, and again, this is the first one that I'm going to talk about, of course, a second goal or resolution. But my first resolution, well, not the first, but the one that I want to talk about here is, you know, help me deal with, you know, making, I guess, a decision. You know, I really wanted to, you know, limit the amount of carbohydrates. I'm trying to eat healthier, and I'm trying to exercise because I want to live a long life. I want to be with you and our baby. Mm-hmm. Forever and ever.
We're coming back to you, Larry.
That's right. We're going to come back to the trainer. But how do we, you know, for those that, you know, I'm a couch potato, you know, and I'm a sweetie. In other words, I like sweets.
Mm-hmm.
But for something, and I think I've heard you say this once before, sugar can be compared to some type, in some situations, a drug.
Oh, it's a drug. It's a drug, absolutely, right up there with caffeine. Okay, y'all, don't shoot the messenger.
Come on.
I'm just telling you what some of the research has said, you know, that, you know, sugar and caffeine, especially when you look at their chemical compositions, they're, you know, and the way they impact the body and the way they impact the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can absolutely be considered drugs because they make shifts in our our thought processes and, mm-hmm. and the physiologic processes as well.
So you're saying then, so for those that are challenged or having some problems with changing, especially those that were trying to reduce sweets or even maybe their caffeine intake, there's some chemical things that's going on inside of our mind and our body that may be causing us to not
be as successful.
Right.
Well, but it doesn't mean you can't be successful at it. You just need a good plan, and you got to work your plan. Because you know there are people out there who have wanted to lose weight and they've done so successfully. That you know that there are people out there who've wanted to. What else did you say? You were going to change the carbs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know there are people who've done that. The deal is what's the difference between what they did versus what you did? And I think, you know, some of the reasons why the resolutions fail is, number one, we've got to have a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we can get in a feel-good moment and say, oh, I'm going to do, you know, X, Y, Z. And you kind of do it because in that moment, maybe everybody around you is talking about it or you see a good TV show or you, for whatever reason, you jump on board with whatever that thing is. So, for example, you're talking about weight loss and exercising, but it needs to surround a time of change in your world. Mm-hmm. So not a time of change that just comes around traditionally, mm-hmm. which is what the new year is. That's something that comes around every year at the, you know, it's the beginning of every year. And also we have just come off of a time of year that is filled with celebrations and excess sometimes. So we're at the end of the year, we're eating a little more, we're eating some of those things that we don't normally eat throughout the year. And so, you know, sometimes people are saying, oh, I've got to do something different mm-hmm. at the beginning of the year. That's a lot, oftentimes the purpose for the dry January or the purpose for the weight loss goals at the beginning of the year, because oftentimes people have gained some weight over the, you know, those November, December holidays. So, but this needs to surround if you want it to work for you, you want it to occur at the start of a time of change or a need for change for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be, you know, this vision, or you want to take the time to sit down and envision what do you want your future to look like as far as that goal is considered, or I just lost the word that quick, but you just want to take time to say, what does that goal need to look like for me? And let's sit down and make a realistic plan. So this is the first thing, though, after you do that. When you make that realistic plan, expect some obstacles.
Okay. All right. So hold on for a second.
Okay.
Again, for those that are listening, you are listening to How You Living, mm-hmm. a show about life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg.
Hello.
And, yeah, today we're talking about, you know, getting past that point of quitting. You know, Dr. Funderburg mentioned that there's a quitter's day or a quitter's, what do you call it?
That's what it's called, yeah. Quitter's Day. That's not my words.
It's
called Quitter's Day, and it is said to be the second Friday in January, and it's the symbolic milestone for the struggle for people to keep up with their New Year's resolution. And so it's the beginning of February, and some of the research says that by that time, only about half of the people who made resolutions are still working on them.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So now you're talking to us about obstacles.
Yeah. So first we've got to, if you have that idea for whatever this goal is that you want to reach, and you want to make a plan on how to get there, a realistic plan on how to get there. So, you know, if the goal is to lose 50 pounds in a month, that might not be realistic. Gosh. And if it is, it might not be healthy.
Right.
You know, but you want to expect some obstacles, not because we are just trying to be Debbie Downers, but just because life happens.
Yeah.
And you don't want to make this plan and think that things are going to go perfectly, and then, you know, something happens and you fall off the wagon completely and roll down the hill and the wagon rolls on top of you. That doesn't have to happen. Go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Funderburg, it's almost like, sometimes I feel like Humpty Dumpty, you know, he was on the wall and I fell off. But sometimes, you know, what do we do though mentally? When I fell off and I started eating my sweets and I started not exercising, I really started feeling kind of bad about myself.
Yeah.
Because I started feeling like, okay, man, here I go again. Mm-hmm. You know, I started to feel like I'm not reaching my goals. I'm not doing what I need to do, and it just started mentally just kind of draining me.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, I didn't go out there and exercise like I was supposed to. And so I've been struggling with that thing ever since before that second Friday.
Mm-hmm.
God, what you going to tell me now? You got to help me out because a brother needs a doctor to say something. Look, maybe give give me a happy pill or something and then make, you know.
Well, I'm not that kind of doctor. So,
Okay.
I'm looking at, you know. There is such a huge mind-body connection that, you know, if you are not prepped in your mind to jump back onto the plan once an obstacle kind of hits you and knocks you off, mm-hmm. it can kind of derail you and you start feeling bad about yourself and then say, oh, what does it matter anyway? So you want to maybe even go ahead and pull in those affirmation statements. Mm-hmm. Affirmations, y'all, don't sleep on affirmations. Sometimes people are saying like, oh, you know, that's some of that kind of frou-frou stuff. That's that thing that we saw the lady that used to be on one of the black TV channels, put up on her mirror every day, and mm-hmm. she would say her affirmations every day or however often she said them. But affirmations actually do work, you all. The thing is, you have to say that affirmation and you have to believe, you have to work towards believing that affirmation. And really, again, it goes back to some of what we've been talking, what I just mentioned not too long ago about the vision boards. You've got to see it on a regular basis. You can't just like say it one time in the day and then let all the other negative stuff come in your day and you not, you know, reaffirm yourself, you know. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me ask this question then. So when I think about support, mm-hmm. when I think about family, because sometimes mm-hmm. family and friends,
yeah,
man, they can be an obstacle too.
They might be an obstacle. So that's why, okay, so you bring up another good point. Accountability helps.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody that's going to be able to check you and you not just totally go off on them. Or at least if you do go off, they're not going to be scared to come back to you.
I think a couple of times my wife was going to put me in the doghouse. I was going to have to sleep on the couch, but she let me back upstairs and you know.
Somebody come get him.
But when we have family members and friends, you know, and they're not supporting us, I mean, they're just, they go again. He's back to smoking cigarettes. He said he was going to stop.
Well, whether it's smoking the cigarettes or whether it's eating, you know, the carbs, the sugar, or drinking the carbs and the sugar, whether it's exercising, whether it's saying you're going to read more, whether it's saying you're going to save money, whatever it is,
right.
You want to have some level after you make the plan for it and then expect some obstacles with it. You want to set up some accountability, and the accountability does need to be the right person. Those affirmations that you say can be a part of your support and that accountability process, because, you know, when you're saying those words to you, you're kind of like, okay, am I doing this? Did I actually do what I said here? But also, you just want to have the right accountability person when you are trying to connect to them. So sometimes the accountability person is that family member or that friend. Sometimes the accountability partner is the person that you may have to pay. So it might be the trainer. It might be the nutritionist. It might be the money manager. It might be whomever it might be, whatever professional it might be. A lot of times paying that money will make you say, okay, I said I was going to do this, so let me actually go and do this because I'm paying my good money for this. A lot of times, though, I do think that family and friends, many of them, have good intentions, but they just might not be used to you being different,
right,
or trying to do something different. And so when you do something different, when you're trying to make yourself better,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it shines a light on the other people around you who are not doing what they need to do. Now, you're just trying to make you better. You're not thinking about, you know, pointing out their flaws. But when you're trying to do better, for example, let's give an example. You all go out to a restaurant and you're trying to eat better. And so you order water to drink. You have a grilled chicken and some a sweet potato and some grilled vegetables. And where you normally might have had, what, a burger and fries or the fried chicken or something like that.
Right. That's right, because I'm salivating right now.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah. So you order that clean meal. You order that food that's a little healthier for you, and then that person beside you has ordered the smothered whatever, the thing right. that comes with the gravy and all of that stuff. And it's just, you know, you haven't said anything to that other person. You're not judging that other person. All you did was order your food, and they're looking like, man, well, she's eating all healthy, gosh, and I'm sitting here eating all this smothered, mothered, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So it just shines a light on what they're not doing, even when you're not even trying to do that. You're just trying to make you better. So sometimes they will kind of come at you like mm-hmm. that because they're like, okay, what you trying to do here? You trying to make me look bad? Or,
okay, yeah.
you know, that sort of a thing. And then if you actually do start losing the weight, if you actually do start toning muscle, if you actually do start saving some money, or, you know, just getting some level of success, achieving some level of success on the thing that you're working on, that's when you really start to shine a light on them. And again, you're not trying to do that. All you're doing is walking out what you said you were going to walk out. But in you walking out what you said you were going to walk out, they're kind of feeling bad now because wow. it's like, okay, is she really doing this? Oh, mm-hmm. And I'm still walking around here with an extra, you know,
That's right.
Extra lump or bump or whatever to
there it is.
Go
so,
ahead.
Wow. So again, this is so interesting. We're talking about quitting. We're talking about how to get, you know, past that, how to move past your goals and to really accomplish these things. You're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. Okay. So Doc, I want to mm-hmm. shift gears just slightly.
Okay.
You know, and over the last few years, I've been trying to adopt a new concept. I've read about it, and I've seen it on the internet, and I've seen different people do this thing called a one-word mm-hmm. situation.
One-word almost, I don't know if it's a challenge or.
Well, I mean, it's just something where and that one word might be like a common thread or something that. And it may keep me accountable.
So you're saying instead of doing a resolution to say, I will lose 30 pounds this year, right?
Right. I mean, that's
then
right.
There is the person will say, I'm going to choose this word that I'm going to use throughout various areas in my life.
You're right. And so, again, this is and again, there might be times that you still want to have some activity and some goals that you're going to accomplish. But something that you can keep on going throughout the entire year, mm-hmm. I'm just going to have this one word.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for me, that one word for 2025 is going to be tenacious.
Yes.
And so I want to be tenacious. Mm-hmm. Whatever I do in 2025, man, I want to give it my best. I'm going to strive hard. I'm going to work hard to really, really put forth the effort. And then if I'm going to fall like Humpty Dumpty, I'm going to get back up on that wall again.
So, yeah. So when he says his word is tenacious, he's using that or the goal is to use that in every area of his life. So when he's sitting down at his desk to work, he's going to be tenacious at work. So, and we kind of broke down the word for you so that it could be used in multiple areas.
Right, right.
So with tenacious or tenacity, you know, a different mm-hmm. version of that word, we looked at it as the combination of fight mm-hmm. and discipline.
Okay.
Remember, we kind
that
of talked
right.
about
so that. So you helped me break it down. Again, sometimes you need some help, you know, somebody that can help you kind of, you know, get this thing and keep you accountable.
So when he sits down at his desk every day, how he's asking maybe, okay, how am I going to be disciplined here and not just kind of surf around instead of going straight to, you know, that document that I need to work on, or responding to those emails that I need to respond to. Let me be disciplined about that. So that's using his tenacity at work, but also he could use tenacity in making sure that after he cooks dinner, because he likes to cook, y'all.
I do.
I don't especially like to cook. He likes to cook.
I do. That is.
But don't leave the biggest mess for somebody else to come and clean up.
Okay. So we're working on that, Dr. Funnenberg.
Right. So an example of that would be, okay, how am I going to be tenacious in when I'm making this dinner? Let me actually, let me make sure that I go ahead and have everything that I need, first of all, to make this dinner. And then, you know, I do try to come in and clean up afterwards, you all, if he's not able or just a little too tired to do it. But please don't leave the biggest mess for me. So let's be disciplined in not leaving a huge mess when you are doing some of that cooking. So I hope we're describing the one word aspect, or how the one word can be a different version of a resolution. So it's like, you come up with what the word is that is appropriate for you. And there are books out there that help people walk through that. You know, go to your favorite search engine and put that in one word, and you'll, like one word resolutions or something like that. And things will pop up, for you to help you kind of walk through, how do I come up with my one word? And you will start to be able to see, okay, how can I use this word in every facet of my life? And that sometimes has helped people to stay a little bit more focused throughout the entire year, so that they're not quitting on the second Friday in January on that thing that they planned on doing. So I think you're doing a good job, because you know what, you have accountability with that, because we both have words. We both have our own words. His word is tenacious. My word is fearless. And we're both kind of checking each other on, or we're checking in with each other on how we're doing on our words, you know? So I might say to him, how were you tenacious today? Right. Or how did you use your tenacity this week? And he needs to be able to say, okay, yeah, well, I made sure that I went to such and such place and I was killing it doing A, B, and C. Or I might say to him that I've actually, I did this thing today. And at first I was a little nervous about it, but I went ahead and there actually did it.
See, there you go, Dr. Funnenberg. You bad girl. I love it. Again, again, folks, we thank you for listening to us this day. And we really encourage you to come back and listen to us next week. We do want to encourage you, for this particular week, the week of love, is to make sure you love someone, love a family member, love a coworker.
And if you can't love anybody else, make sure you love yourself.
There you go, Dr. Funnenberg. I'm going to pull out that arrow again. Man, I hope I don't shoot myself. Dr. Funnenberg, can you wrap it up?
If you have any comments or questions, make sure that you message us at WNAAcommunity@gmail.com. And we would love for you to join us again on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funnenbergs. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funnenbergs. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests, and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is a sole property of WNAA FM HD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FM HD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funnenbergs on 90.1 FM WNAA.